The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. The whole text is in your leaflet, or you can follow it in the Bibles. It's on page 1028 in the Bibles. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what it was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Jan. Shall we pray as we spend a couple of minutes looking at that Bible passage together? Father, thank you that Jesus is such good news. And please will you help us understand more of what good news he is this morning. We pray it in his name. Amen. Well, I reckon today is probably a day that lots of people have been waiting for. I imagine there's been lots of waiting. In our house, there's been a countdown for, I think, the last 10 mornings. One of our family has told me how many days it is until Christmas. We're going to watch a quick video. Just see if you can work out what it is that this little lad is waiting for.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had, could make a good man turn bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I be the first time.
Isn't that nice? Good old John Lewis Christmas ad. A little boy who couldn't wait to give his parents a Christmas present. What kind of things have you been waiting for? What have you been waiting for today? Anybody? Waiting to sit down and rest when all the preparations are over. Has it happened yet?
Nearly.
Anybody else? What else have you been waiting for? Yep, Hannah. Presents. I imagine a lot of us have been waiting for presents, looking forward to them arriving. Yep. Anybody else? Maybe some, yep. Family. Yeah, some of us have been waiting to see family who've been going to come and visit. I know one person in the building has been waiting for today because he wanted to be able to wear his Christmas beard baubles. Pete, do you want to stand up so we can see them? Pretty impressive. That Bible passage that we heard read is a passage all about waiting. Just have a look, if you've got it in front of you. Have a look at verse 25. Do you remember it said, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward to something. He was waiting for it. And then a little bit further down in the passage, verse 38, we read about Anna, who gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Those who were looking forward, who were waiting. So this is a passage all about waiting. And it's not just a passage about waiting, but it's a passage about Simeon and Anna receiving what they were waiting for. You see, in our passage, Simeon, that man that we were introduced to, says, in other words, I've done everything I ever wanted. Everything I've been waiting for, it's just happened. It's a very exciting passage. It's about 40 days after Jesus was born. And 40 days after the birth of a male child, the mother of the child had to go to the temple and offer some sacrifices. And that is what Jesus' parents are doing. They take Jesus with them to the temple, and they meet this man, Simeon. Now, we don't know very much about Simeon. We're told that he's righteous, that he behaves well in relation to other people, and that he's devout, that he behaves well in relation to God. But apart from that, we're not really told very much about him. I think often those of us who are familiar with this passage, we assume that Simeon was an old man, but actually the passage doesn't say that. So he might have been, for example, Mel, the thing's not working, sorry. Could you click on the... There we are. He might have been an old man. And he might have been a younger man. He might have been a businessman in the prime of life. He might have been a farmer. Might have been a shopkeeper. He might have been a family man. We just don't know. We're not told. So this could have been a man who was in his 30s with a happy family and a thriving business, saying to God, God, everything I ever wanted has just happened. I'm happy to die now because you've given me everything that you promised and everything that I'd ever wanted. That is pretty exciting, isn't it? That's what he's saying in verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That's it, he says. Everything I ever wanted has just happened. I don't know if you've ever thought about what you might most want to do in life. Maybe you'd like to meet a particular person, a particular famous person. Maybe you'd like to visit a particular place that you've never seen before. Maybe you'd like to have a particular experience, diving or mountaineering or whatever it might be. Maybe you'd like to have a particular achievement, a sporting achievement or an academic achievement, get a particular job. Well, Simeon is saying, this is everything I ever wanted. This child that I'm holding in my arms, he is everything I ever wanted. Now let's just think about why Simeon says that. Why is it that he's been waiting so long for this moment and gets so excited about it? What does he tell us about this child that he's holding? Well, have a look down again at those words in verses 29 to 32. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, your rescue." Rescue has been mentioned a few times in the Bible passage. We're told at the beginning there, verse 21, the child, Jesus, is given the name Jesus. And as we thought about earlier in our service, the name Jesus means God saves, God rescues. That is what Simeon's been waiting for. And we were told earlier in the passage up there, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That is the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's King, the Lord's Anointed One. There are a number of passages in the Old Testament that promised the Lord would send a king, a rescuer, a savior, an anointed one. So there's one here in Isaiah 61, for example. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn." So do you see, Simeon has got there what he was looking for. We're told that he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Anointed One, the Lord's King, the Lord's Rescuer. And in Isaiah 61, that's what was promised. "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." We're told that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, this rescuer who was coming. And in Isaiah 61, that passage in the Old Testament, this person who was coming would be a comfort, a consolation, a rescuer. That is what Simeon's been waiting for, and that is what he says has arrived in this little baby, this little child that he's holding in his arms. And just look at who this rescue is for. He says it a number of times in verses 29 to 32. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles," that's non-Jewish people, "and the glory of your people, Israel." Now that is everybody really, isn't it? All nations, non-Jewish people, Jewish people. This child would have an influence on everybody in the whole world, every single person. That's why Simeon is getting so excited about it. Can I have five people come and stand up here at the front, please? Why don't we, Martha, can you extract yourself? Why don't we have five horses? Now, I'm going to give each of you guys a picture of somebody, and we're going to decide how much this person affects people in the world. Do they have a little bit of influence on people? Do they have a bit more? Do they have quite a lot? Do they have loads of influence on lots of people around the world? Okay? So, here's the first one. Do we know who that is? Taylor Swift. What do we think? So, how much influence, how many people does Taylor Swift affect? If you think it's not very many, then just stay sitting down. If you think it's a bit more than that, put your hands on your head. If you think it's quite a lot, then put hands in the air. And if you think it's loads, then stand up. Okay, let's have a quick vote. So there's a few people standing up. There's lots of hands in the air. So I think we're probably saying that's many overall. Thanks, Mel. What about this person? Homer Simpson. Not a lot of influence. Mel, is the PowerPoint not working? Never mind. Let's not worry about it. How about this person? So, how much influence over people does Simon Austin have, do we think? Oh, dear. There's a few hands on heads, a couple of people standing up, somewhere partway up the scale, I think, if we could get the scale working. Oh. What about this? Do we know who this person is? Greta Thunberg, yeah. 16-year-old climate change activist. Yeah, lots of arms in the air. Quite a few people standing up. Yeah. She probably would like to have even more influence than she has. But, yeah, great. Thank you. But what have we seen in our Bible passage about how many people... how many people Jesus will affect? This little baby that Simeon is holding, how much effect will he have on the world, according to our Bible passage? Everybody standing up. Thank you very much. That is what Simeon says, isn't it? My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Every single person, everywhere across the world, the whole of history, everybody who has ever lived and everybody who will ever live, this baby that Simeon is holding has an impact, is significant for them. Great. Thank you very much, E5. And what is that impact? Well, we've said it already in our service, haven't we? The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is true for every single person across the world, past, present, future, everywhere you go. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations. That is why Simeon's getting so excited in our Bible passage. I've seen everything I ever wanted to, he says. Lord, now I'm happy to die. Let's just notice one more thing before we finish. Because he goes on to say something else. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Well, you would, wouldn't you? If you were holding a child and somebody said to you, your child is going to become prime minister, you'd be pretty surprised, pretty amazed. This is even bigger than that. Simeon's saying this child is going to affect everybody in the whole of history. They marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This child will cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. Simeon is saying there will be many people who receive that rescue, that salvation which he offers. They will be those who rise. But there will be many people who ignore it, who reject it, who choose not to receive this rescue, this salvation, who just carry on with life as if this child were a nobody, unimportant, pay no attention to him. They will be the ones who fall. And Simeon says the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So he is saying the way that we respond to this child, Jesus, reveals our position in relation to him, and therefore whether we are those who will fall eternally or will rise eternally. You can't be neutral, says Simeon, with respect to this baby. Your reaction to him matters. It is crucial and determines the rest of eternity. Now, there is a real danger for us, isn't there, that we, you know, the way you have your nativity scene on the mantelpiece at Christmas, and then after 12 days, you pack your nativity scene back into the box and put it in the cupboard, and it stays in the cupboard for the rest of the year. There is a danger that we can do that with Jesus, whoever we are. There's a danger that we can spend a lot of time talking about him at Christmas, maybe even a lot of time talking about him on particular days through the year, but actually treat him as if he were really packed away in a box in a cupboard for most of the year. Simeon is saying that is a dangerous position to be. This child will cause the falling and the rising of many. But this child, Jesus, is the one who brings salvation, who brings consolation, who brings rescue for those who are willing to live with him as king, to accept him as Lord, to trust him with their eternity. Well, we could be those, like Simeon, who say, actually, Lord, I'm happy to die. All those things which I wanted to do with my life, well, the big one has happened. I've come face to face with the Lord Jesus. I've met him. I know him. I can trust him for the rest of eternity. We could say with Simeon, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Wouldn't it be great for this Christmas to be that kind of Christmas for us? Let me pray. Father, we praise you again for sending Jesus as that Savior, that salvation, that rescuer for all nations. Please, might we be those who respond to him rightly. Please, would we live with him as king, trust him as savior, and look forward to an eternity with him. We pray it in his name for his glory. Amen.